Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Nun Tet, and we've been in the middle of the sugya of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and we got to the additions that maybe are not included literally in the Sheva Mitzvos, but are part of what we need to understand of the broader context of Evdei Kochavim. And today we're on the second line of Daf Nuntet. The Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Oved Kochavim Shosek B'Torah Chayav Mita. A goy who sits around learning Torah. Now, this doesn't mean just casually. It says Shosek B'Torah. And because of this, there's many who are Matir Torah Shebiksav, because Torah Shebiksav actually was anyway opened by Moshe Rabbeinu to them on the Avonim, and it doesn't require Esek. The motion of Esek, Lasok, is Dafka Limud with depth in Torah Shebikdalpeh. So he would be Chai of Misa. It's quite a remarkable diuk from the Pasuk, Shenemar. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kiilat Yaakov. So that means Lanu Morasha Velo Lahem. So that means it's ours, and it's our inheritance, and it's not theirs, and therefore if they will be learning it, then they will be stealing it from us, because it's completely ours. And what about, according to the other Mandiyama, who learns that it's Ma'orasa, that we'll see in a moment. So if it's literally based on the Pasuk, why shouldn't it be put into the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? So Lich Sheva Gabi Sheva Mitzvos, you say it's Chayiv Misa. So Mandiyama Morasha, it depends how you're Medayik, that Morasha. Remember, the simple meaning of the Pasuk is that it's a Lashon of Yerusha. It's a Lashon of inheritance. So then if they take it, it would be stealing, and it's included under stealing. What about, according to the Mandi Omar, Ma'orasa? So remember that we darshan it also as meaning the relationship to Torah is the relationship that a person has to his beloved betrothed. So this is Ma'orasa. According to that, the reason that it's not included separately in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is because it's included under rape. Because if they're sleeping with your Ma'orasa by learning Torah, so then they're over on the Isser of rape. So it's already included in the Arayas for Avedis Kechov. Now, this is a very remarkable way of being Dorish. I mean, we're used to thinking that the concept of rape on something that is not sexual is purely metaphorical. And it's a very recent thing. People would never use that strong language of, you know, being raped culturally and so on. This is more of a recent language development where people are more likely to use sexual terminology. But over here you see that the Gemara takes it quite literally, that a violation of something that is meant to be your dear environment, your dear culture, your dear thoughts. It's a rape, literally, because over here we're being mechayev then because of arayas. That's absolutely astonishing. Okay? I see nobody's astonished. All right, I'll be astonished for all of you, you bums. Anyway, I've got enough astonishment to handle you all. The only one who seems to care over here is Ori. There we go. All right, at least we get a rise out of you. A little bit of anger. That's good. Okay. Anyway, really, think about it. It's an unbelievable thing. Meisve. Oh, by the way, there's been a lot of halacha lemaisa issues that are involved in this question, because unfortunately, many of the schools are populated by goyim, or even mostly by goyim in a lot of places, where the school, you know, doesn't care about who registers. And then the question is whether the teachers, who are Shomer Torah, have a right to teach if they're teaching Torah to goyim. And it also comes up all the time in terms of lectures, where a rabbi is asked to lecture in front of a non-Jewish audience, And the question is, what can he include in that lecture? Is it included if he's going to be saying things that are drushes and coming from the Torah? And isn't that actually being over on Morasha Kehilat Yaakov?
Or a tour guide in Hebron in front of some...
Yeah, in Achinani. Tour guides as well have the same problem. So this is a question that has been raised by many, many poskim. Most recently, I think Reb Moshe Zatzal spoke a lot about it, as did the Sri Deish. Obviously, the Sri Deish had a lot in Europe. There was a lot of this kind of question, especially among those that used to mix a great deal with the non-Jews in the area, and it's all part of the Derech Eretz. So basically, the guidelines are, in terms of the Peskim, that if there's no Isser, if you're teaching B'nai Yisrael, there's no Isser if Goyim are there listening. It's only if the Kavana would be specifically to violate the Morasha. Furthermore, if it's in order to set them straight on something that they don't understand about the nature of the Torah, and they're saying Dvorim Asher Lokein, being Motzi Lashon Hara, because of their lack of understanding, to explain it to them and to allow them to understand the godless of Torah, to correct them, that is also mut. Furthermore, it's definitely mut. This is already from this Zman HaRishonim, as the Me'iri speaks out. It's definitely mut, as we're going to see, for them to be learning Torah in order to understand their mitzvahs. That we're going to see in a moment, the Shema Mitzvahs B'nei Neach. And that would mean, says the Me'iri, which is really unbelievable, in order to learn anything in the Torah, you have to be able to learn everything in the Torah. Right? In other words, essentially, in order to really be able to understand anything, you're going to end up needing to understand how the drush works, and you're going to need to understand, like, we know la halacha. If you're going to be learning a Mishnah, you can't learn a Mishnah without learning the Gemara. And if you're learning the Gemara, you can't understand the Gemara if you haven't been Isaac Shlish of the Zman in learning how to think properly in the Gemara, and so on. So there's no way to be Isaac B'Torah only to be lemeid about the Sheva Mitzvahs, because that's going to lead you to everything in the end. And so the Miri explains that the idea, that's a brilliant insight. So the Miri explains that the point is the focus. In other words, if the focus of the Goy is rape, that he's trying to take in for himself what is miyuchet for Yisrael, so then that is actually considered to be a violation. It's either rape or it's gezel. But if the focus is for his own thing that he's meant to have, and he's supposed to be able to fully understand the implications of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach for himself, and so on, so there, that's considered to be the Asik and what is given to him, and not the Asik in our Morasha. This simply confirms something that we've spoken about so many times, which is that the Torah is not the information of the Torah. And therefore, the point over here as well, the chelik of the Torah that is his, whatever that leads him to, is in fact the chelik of the Torah that's his. Those who learn Torah for information are bechlal raping the Torah. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish. I mean, there's no connection to the Ma'arasa. There's no love. And there's no, so, I mean, I understand. So what are you claiming, that you're a gynecologist? I mean, you can also be up for abuse, even if you're a gynecologist. You're taking the Torah apart as a gynecologist. No, that's the same thing as rape. You want to call it, you know, scientific investigation. It doesn't change the fact that they'll put you into jail. So therefore, the same thing is true over here. So there's a lot of discussion about the heterim, the getter of the Isser, and so on. I'm wondering whether to tell you something else. Just let me think for a second. And I think we'll save the rest for the Chumash discussion, because I think it's very negative, the Chumash discussion today. Just remind me if I don't say anything about it. Okay. Anyway, ask the Gemara. This doesn't make any sense. Because Meis, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer Minayin Shefilo Veko Chavim Lo Seik Batorah Shuhu K'Kohen Gadol. How do we know that the simplest Goy who is sitting and learning Torah, that he has the chashivas of a Kohen Gadol? Shenemar Asher Yaseh Otam HaAdam V'Chai Bahem. So Doesn't say Asher Yaseotam Kohanim Leviim V'Yisraelim. No, Lo Nemar Ela Ha'adam. So it speaks about the human qua human. Alamadata Shafilo Oved Kochavim V'Oseg BaTorah Arehu K'Kohen Gadol. So this is V'Chaylem. Okay, so then how can we say that it's Oser and at the other side of our mouth say that even if he's a goy, he has the chashivas of a Kohen Gadol? That doesn't make sense. That answers the Gemara. Awesome. B'sheva mitzvos didhu. As we just explained. That's where their learning is the learning for their sheva mitzvos. Now, the problem is to be midayik from Asher Yaseh Otam Adam, if we're derish the posik of Adam Atem, so then it doesn't mean a goy. A human is only a Jew. So Rashi points out that there's a machlokas, actually, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who's derish Adam Atem. But this mimer of Rabbi Meir, he doesn't derish from Adam Atem, that a goy is not metame, let's say. Remember, that was where it was nogeh v'halacha, that a body of a goy is not Adam in terms of Tumas Oyel. So Adam, so that machlokas, says Rashi, would be nogea here as well. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, af hadam minachai. So now getting back to what we said before, where we learned that according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, the din of Aver minachai actually is a reference not only to Aver minachai, but it's also dam minachai. Question is, where exactly does that come from? So let us take a look at the braita. Turn around. Ach basar bin nafsho damo lo tochel. What was Noach being told at that point? Ze aver minachai. Basar bin nafsho, so it means while the basar is still connected to its nefesh, so it's still part of the living animal. It's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, and here is the mocker of what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said about the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, that in this pasuk to Noach, it includes Af Dam Minachai. What is he basing it on, my time with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel? Because if the pasuk doesn't really make sense, why does it have to mention both things, basar b'nafsho damo lo tochelo? We are already well aware of the fact that hadam hu hanefesh, right? So we refer to living things as those things in which red blood courses through them, bringing them oxygen and so on. So I don't need to have both those words. If it's b'damo, then it's, or if it's b'nafsho, it's the same thing. So therefore, it must be saying two different things. Basar b'nafsho lo tochel. Don't eat the meat that was taken from a living being, and don't drink the blood. Damo b'nafsho lo tochel. Do not drink blood that came from a living organism. And what does the Tanna Kamma do with that? How does the Tanna Kamma believe that there's no particular iser? Remember, goyim are not usser in general on blood, right? So if this was a new din of dam min hachai, it would be a completely out of left field new halacha that would be applying to the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So if the Rabbanan disagree with that, how did they explain the fact that Noach was told something about dam? What's the relevance of dam? Ah, tremendous relevance. As we said yesterday, Ahula Mishrei Shrotzim Hudiyasa. We're going to see later today, Bezrat Hashem, that the fact that we mention separately the Basar and Dame is only to indicate that those organisms where the Basar and the Dam are viewed as different things, unique things, and that would not include shrotzim, because remember, we learn out that a sheretz, achila of a sheretz, or the achila of the dam of a sheretz, is exactly the same. We do not view insect blood as being blood. It's simply part of the basar. So therefore, according to the Rabbanon, what the pasuk is saying is, if you have an organism that you can address separately, the basar and the dam, then there's an iser of aver minachai. But if it's an organism that doesn't have that distinction, so then it's not included in the Isser of Eiver Menachai. And therefore, if you pull off a cockroach's leg and eat it, there would be no Isser for the Ben Noach in terms of Eiver Menachai. Kayotze Badavar HaTomer, you find an interesting similarity in the drosha of Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam Ki Adam Hu Hanafesh. So there, of course, that's referring to Bnei Yisrael, not to Goyim. And this is the Isser, not to eat dam. So over there, since it ends with the words, V'lo tochlo nefesh im habasar, so that tells me that your Isser also for Ben Yisrael, to eat the nefesh im habasar. But since over here it's put together in the same pasuk with the Isser of achilas dam, so it teaches us that that Isser of levilti echol Hadam ki Adam hu anafesh, that's referring to dam, that actually it's a din in dam, but it's actually referring to dam that was taken while the animal was alive. So that is a reference specifically to that Isser. Masha Inke, the Rabbonin who argue on Rabbi Hanina, and they hold that dam is not included, and therefore, it, for Ben Yisrael, it's also not going to be included in the Isser of Eiver Menachai. What did they do with the putting together dam and basar? The Rabbanan say, Ahula dam hakoza shanishama yotze bohudiata. That's coming to tell me that when you do a blood letting, and that is the dark blood that comes out with the pumping of the heart, which is very dark color, that is talking about, that's the dam that you're mechayev the chorus on. So because of that, it puts it together in such a way that it would be clear to us that it's dam, that the nefesh is yotzebo, haneshama yotzebo. Okay, here there's a machlokas rishonim, whether what we're talking about is that that is specifically the type of dam that's usher in terms of the halacha of chorus, or that it's adding that to the dam that's asr. Now the question is, what is the point? If you're saying that there is an isser of Eiver Menachai, why do we need to have two separate isurin? If you're telling me that a benach is asr and Eiver Menachai, and here we have the pasuk of Nefeshim HaBosar for Yisrael, why mention it again? We were already asr from the time we were Bnei Noach. So it doesn't seem to make sense that we would add. Now, what about the other Isurim that include? I don't understand. I mean, you could say that all of the Arayas we shouldn't mention because B'nai Noach are Isur and Arayas. We shouldn't have Mishpatim because B'nai Noach are Chayev and Dinim. I mean, that's the Gemara doesn't think about that. Isn't that a lot more a powerful question? And what about all of the different psukim about Avodah Zarah? So you shouldn't mention that because we already know about that from the time of Noah. So Rashi says those in Yonim, it was obvious that those parshas needed to be mentioned again at Har Sinai because of all the new, all of the new dinim and prote dinim that they're mechadesh. But Eiver Menachai seems very straightforward. Either it is an Eiver Menachai or it's not an Eiver Menachai. If you're telling me that a Ben Noach is also an Eiver Menachai, then what would be the point to tell us again that we're Aser? Ah, answers the Gemara, we have a very important klal from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina. The Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, Kol mitzvah shenemra levnei Noach v'nishneit b'sinai lezev lezenemra. If the Torah repeats, so then it's coming to tell me that Goyim are Chayev and Jews are Chayev. Livnei, but how about if it was Livnei Noach? It was only told to Noach and it wasn't mentioned again at Har Sinai. Then that would be because it was only Nemar LiYisrael and not LiSinai. We're going to ask how that makes sense. But what it's mentioned, if I don't need to talk about it again, so it means that it's obvious that you are Chayev from the time that you were a Ben Noach. Now, this doesn't seem to make sense. So why was it taken away from Bnei Noach? We'll ask about this in a moment. But the only Isser that is an illustration of this is the Gid HaNasheh. So the Gid HaNasheh is an example of something that is the Yisrael Nemra, the Lolivnei Noach, because we only find out about that wasn't told to Bnei Noach, right? And this would be going Aliba to Rebbe Yehuda, because remember, at the actual Posek, and the events of the Gid HaNasheh, when Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael and he has the battle with Sarash HaLesav, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael et Gid HaNasheh. So now the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean when we become B'nei Yisrael, then it will become Aser to us? Or does it mean from this point, the children of Rabbi Yisrael, referring to Yaakov Avinu, won't eat the Gid HaNasheh? So if, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was already an Isser of Achilas Gid HaNasheh on Bnei Noach, because at that stage, Bnei Yisrael were only Bnei Noach. And therefore, you would say that if that's the case, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, we could understand that since the Torah only mentions this at Har Sinai, and it wasn't said to Noach, so if that's the case, then this is a perfect illustration of this idea. Something that is repeated at Sinai, even though it occurred before, it would mean it's only Yisrael Nemra, the lo livnei Noach. I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, it seems to me it should be exactly the opposite. Omar Mar, kol mitzvah she'nemra levnei Noach v'nishneis b'Sinai, lezeh v'lezeh ne'emra. If a mitzvah was repeated at Har Sinai, then it means it was given both to Yisrael and to Goyim. What? I mean, it's just the opposite, no? Adarabba. If we need to repeat it at Sinai, and we're not relying on the fact that, well, you already know about this mitzvah from the time you were Ben Noach, right? No, we don't rely on that. Okay, so then what the Torah must be saying is, this is a new mitzvah, Yisrael, and that abrogates previous chiyuvim as a Ben Noach. Isn't that logical? So if I need to repeat it, it means that it's no longer meant for Bnei Noach. Otherwise, why bother? How do you explain that? Says the Gemara of Tait. Mide'it ne'avadis kechavim b'sinai. So we're going to be mentioning, we have to wait until the sugya develops to understand why the question of the details is not important, which we'll talk about. But since Avedis Kechavim was repeated at Har Sinai, so if the logic that you mentioned is true, so from that point on, Goyim should not be Chayim on Aveda Zara. But we see that Goyim are considered to be still Chayiv from Aveda Zara. As a matter of fact, it says Beferish in the Torah, that's because of these Toivot that they used to do with Avedis Kechavim, with Melech, and so on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them. So obviously, it means that we did not take off that Isser. And therefore, it's a Raya that our logic is wrong. Okay, I'll take that for now. But let me ask you about the other thing. You say that if it was given Livnei Noach and it wasn't repeated Har Sinai, that then it means that now it's only for Jews and it's no longer binding on Bnei Noach. That makes no sense. Adarabba, again, it should be exactly the opposite. If the mitzvah wasn't repeated, so then that means that it still is only applicable to Bnei Noach and not Yisrael. I mean, if anything, wouldn't it be the other direction? I mean, that the case that we have is the case of the Gid HaNasheh, right? So maybe that would mean that Bnei Yisrael, meaning the children of Yaakov, should no longer be Aser once they became real Bnei Yisrael on Har Sinai. No, that can't be true. Because what are you going to say? Something should be osur for a goy, but mutter for Yisrael? We're never going to be more machmir on a ben Noach than on a Yisrael. So therefore, that doesn't make sense at all. No? How about Yifas Torah? Didn't we just say before that only a Yisrael is mutter and Yifas Torah, and we mentioned that Yifas Torah to a goy would be usher. So how is that possible? You should ask, if Yifas Torah is mutter to Yisrael, so kosher can it should be mutter for a goy? It would be mutter for a goy. The problem is that the din of Yifas Torah, if they can find the Yifas Torah, by all means, go and take the Yifas Torah. What do you mean? The din of Yifas Torah is a concept of the wages of war, right? And what does that come from? Kibush. That's the din of Prur of Milu'at Arts Vikivshua. So Vikivshua means that you are meant to take over the earth and to terraform the earth. So part of that terraforming is terraforming those beautiful girls. So they now belong to you, and they are supposed to be tamed as part of the taming of the earth. But goyim are not given the din of kibush at all. They were given their lands, and they were not given a right to be kovesh other lands. And since you cannot be kovesh, you don't have a yifas Torah. If you can find one, by all means, you're allowed to sleep with her, except she doesn't exist. All right, what about Pachos B'Shava Pruta? We said before that the definition of Gizela for a goy would be even something that isn't worth a Shava Pruta, right? And a Yisrael is not Chayev on something that is Pachos B'Shava Pruta. So that shows that we find things that are Osir for Goyim and Mutter for Yisrael. So why doesn't that show you that it's not a true klal? No, that's not because... That's because Mishum Delav B'nei Mechila Ninu. The idea over there is not because there's something innate about the Chiev of Geneva on a Goy that is more Chomor than the Chiev of the Geneva on the Yisrael. Because the only reason that the Yisrael is not included in the din is because he's not included in the din of Hashava, as we said before. This is how the Gra understands it. He's not included in the din of Hashava, as we said before, because there's Mechila on Pachos B'Shava Pruta. So I'm not going to sue you for something that doesn't have a Shava Pruta worth. Masha Einkein, a goy who is usher in the Geneva, would be usher in any amount. That would be true of Yisrael as well, if it wouldn't be for the Mechila of Pachos B'Shava Pruta. So it's nothing to do with the... It just works out that in this particular case, because of the fact that they're not Mechel, even a Pachos B'Shava Pruta, they end up being Chayev a Pachos B'Shava Pruta.
Rabbi, this feels like one of the things that you would say that our Goyim and our generation are beyond that. You know, Rashi saying B'nei Noach Zarim Heim. Does Rebbe see this expressed in society and history, this lack of Mechila Shava Pruta? I'm not talking about Anshei Stein. I mean, nowadays, does Rebbe feel it really characterizes a guy?
I told you, I would tell you that story about the... about that girl that used to come into the yeshiva to ask Shilas that they... This was so many years ago. Nobody knew about B'nai Noach in those days. Now it's become a whole movement. But this was an amazing story. So remember this girl, she had come in to ask whether she's allowed to buy meat at a non-kosher butcher shop. Right? So my father's like, do you keep kosher or don't you keep kosher? What kind of crazy question is that? No, I'm not Jewish. But the question is that since non-Jews will shoot an animal and butcher it while it's still living, so do I have to be chayshid for Avram and Achai if I buy at a non-kosher butcher? Masha Inkein, if it was shechita, so shechita is materit for Yisrael, so it's definitely materit for a ben Noach. That's what the girl says, right? She's not even Jewish. What? Okay. So, and it turns out that she was dorming with a Jewish girl, a non-from Jewish girl, and a relative of that Jewish girl had sent her a copy of Rav Hirsch's book, Chorev. And she read that book, and she saw, this is clearly the Emes HaAmitah. So, of course, this is what I have to do. So she started keeping Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. My father actually once asked her, if it means that much to you, and saying, just to understand, why don't you want to become Jewish? So she says, because since the halacha is that a gershon is gayer is kekotin shenoilad, she feels that she can't do that to her parents while they're living, that she should not be related to them. Can you imagine? That's how much the idea meant to her. It's amazing. But anyway, so one of the shaylos that she had was in the dorm room. So girls will generally leave their hairpins like on the sink in the bathroom, right? So she wanted to know if there's a suffix, if it belongs to her friend or not. Since B'nai Noach are not Meichel, Pachas Mishava Pruta. She even knew that halacha. So since they're not Meichel, Pachas Mishava Pruta, so then she has to be Machmir not to use a hairpin unless she's 100% sure that it's hers. So she will always have to take out a new hairpin. So that was a portion of Shaila Halacha L'maisa, which I believe that they paskin for her. Was Rivkolevsky, I think, asking that she doesn't have to be mocked because specifically when it's put down on the sink, it's meant that anybody can use it. So it's like a getter of hefker. But anyway, the question la halacha about whether it still applies, I don't know, but it's a beautiful story. Right. Anyway, I would suspect that it's not a question of social issues. It's not one of the things that has to do with the way it's expressed. It has to do with the question of the nature of internal mechila and the general psychology of the person's place in the world, in which the sense of hakpada at that which is meant to be mine is much more powerful in the ben noach who doesn't have the sense of being in a world that is not really one's own at all. Kol mitzvah the other thing that you said before, that if it was repeated, then it's meant it was given to both. But that can't be true, because what about Mila? Avram was a ben Noach, right? And he was given the mitzvah of Mila. It says, Vata et briti tishmor. But we have the whole parsha in Tazria that it's repeated again, v'nishnei b'sinai. Uvayom hashmini yimol. But we don't say that there still is a mitzvah on B'nai Noach to do Mila, do we? So be Yisrael Nemra, v'lo livnei Noach. No, the reason that that parsha was repeated is not to teach me the din of Mila. It's to teach me Bayom hashmini yimol afilu b'shabbat. That's what it's coming to teach me. Do I need to know that halacha? Aula Mishra Shabbat to the altar. Beyond is Afilu B'Shabbat. Okay, so I'll ask you something else. It's to B'nai Noach, it was said, V'atem Pru Urvu, right? And now, that was said originally to B'nai Noach, and yet it was said again at Sinai. Where was it said again at Sinai? There's no Pru Urvu after Sinai. Ah, but there is, because after Kabbalah Satera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lechem Orlehem, Shuvu Lechem Lo'oha Lechem. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechayev them to go back to their wives, so then Lechora, that means that they have to be Oisek and Peri of Arivia. Because otherwise, why would they be mechayev just for sex to go back to the wives? Now, Lamais, of course, Reish Lakish, we all remember in the whole discussion about whether the people would have died if it wouldn't have been for the Maisa Egel, he says that that's exactly what it means. It means l'simchat ona, to go back for the joys of sex, and that it wasn't a mitzvah period of Arivia. But over here, we're assuming that it was there only in order to reproduce, and yet the halacha is that only Yisrael is chayev, and not B'nai Noach. So, because otherwise, why wouldn't we include? And this is an amazing question, because it's actually a very big machlokas halacha lamaisa, whether goyim are actually chayev in period of Arivia. And The Pashtuses were saying it's only for Yisroel, not for Bnei Noach, because they don't list Piriyah v'Rivyah among the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But I thought we said before, as Tosfos asks, I thought we said before that we're only listing an Isser. We don't list things that you have to do. So if that's the case, the fact that it doesn't include Piriyah v'Rivyah doesn't prove anything, because maybe you're chayv in Piriyah v'Rivyah, but it's not an Isser. So fascinatingly, Tosfos says that actually it would be an Isser, because if there's a chiyuv of Piriyah v'Rivyah, then it would mean that you're not allowed to destroy sperm, because you're supposed to be using sperm for Piriyah v'Rivyah. And therefore, it would be nogea, an Isser, in which case it should have been included if they're responsible for Piriyah v'Rivyah. Okay, this is a lot of discussion, because Lamaisa the Sheiltais and Rashi himself elsewhere says, among other Rishonim, that there is a chiyuv of Piriyah v'Rivyah, but it's a major sugya. So we'll move on. So anyway, why was it said to them to go back home? That's coming for a completely different thing. That comes to teach us Ahu lekol davar sheb'minyan tzarich minyan acher lahatiro das. What happens when a takana is made, right? So let's say a Bezdin says, for the next 3 years, it's usher to do kach v'kach, in order to be misakin the oil. At the end of the 3 years, or when we often have takanot that are based on particular situations, and it's obvious that they're based on the situation, now the situation changes and disappears. Does that mean that the Gezerah is canceled automatically because it had an expiry date on it? You see from here that it doesn't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told everybody, no sex. And he said this only for 3 days, right? So Shloshet Yomim, Al Tikshu Eli Yisha. So why did he need to tell them after Kabbalah Satorah, okay, back to sex? That teaches you that even though the original takana was given with an expiry date, the expiry date is not enough for you to just go ahead and ignore the takana. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no sex, that's it. Until he tells you, okay, back to your tents, right? An amazing halacha. And because of that, we have this mitzvah, but it was not because of that. To tell me,
what about leaving the teva?
Piriyah v'Rivyah. What's that?
What about leaving the teva? They weren't allowed, and then he had to be told, now you can go out. Isn't that also?
No, because over there, it's because he could have been doing it in terms of his feeling. He didn't, kishem shenichnasti brishus, I don't want to be yotze ela brishus, is the lashon of the medrash. But over here, there isn't that consideration of nichnasti. So wait a minute. Now, as I told you before, we're going to get to the question of how we were talking about the repetitive elements where there are so many new dinim given in those repetitive elements. And here is where the Gemara addresses that. If you're telling me that I can justify the repetition at Har Sinai as long as I'm learning out some new halacha from it, so then I don't understand. That would be true of everything. I mean, if you're telling me that, anything that was repeated at Har Sinai, there's always things that we learn, every single thing. I mean, you're telling me Avodah Zarah from the fact that it repeated, what are you talking about? You know how many new chidushim of Avodah Zarah, of what are the Avedas that you're chayav on, and what's the din of Kedarka, Shalom Kedarka, and what's the din of Gifu Venishuk, et cetera, et cetera. I don't understand. There's not a single thing that was repeated that isn't used for new halachas. So then this whole argument falls apart. Just anyway, if it was repeated, no, it was repeated for that tzarech. That's what he said all along. So how come only this thing? This like weird one thing? In which case, there shouldn't be a chiyuv on anything. Because you're telling me that anything that was repeated would be to tell me that a ben noach is chayev? No, it's to tell me the new chidushim. No, what we mean is like this. Azhara mahader umisna balomali. You're 100% right. The dinim, of course, the fact that we have dinim that are repeated, that is to teach me all of the new halachas. But why do I need to mention again, do not, right? If we have the whole achrimots, do not. Well, we don't need the do nots. We could just use the kedoshim, and we'd see everything that you do notted, that already came from the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. If you need to restate the azhara, so now you're doing something that l'chora you don't have to do because it was already extant before. That's what I'm saying. Of course the new dinim you have to say. So when we said before the repetition of arayas, that's, I wasn't referring to kedoshim. I was referring to achrimos. What's the point of saying over all of the azhoras? I could have told you all the new dinim. So therefore, if you have to tell me over the azhara, so then it's coming to tell me that it is applicable across the board. Ben Noach and a Ben Yisrael. Okay. Now, you said before that the only example we have, we had Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina saying, the only example that we have of a mitzvah that was given to Bnei Noach and wasn't mentioned again at Har Sinai, that would be Gid Hanasha Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So this doesn't make sense again. How about what we're just talking about? How about Mila? And how about Piri of Arivia? That now you're saying they were not said again at Sinai. They were only mentioned in this way to tell me the new halacha of that particular din. That's what you said. Okay, so then, I mean, these are not things that are azharas. So these were mitzvahs. Mila, Piri of Arivia. And you said that those were examples of things that were mentioned. They weren't mentioned. According to this, they were not mentioned because the Azara wasn't mentioned. You said it's only an Azara? So if that's the case, they're not included. No. Wait a minute. You're right. Technically, you're right. But, I mean, remember the Lushan, that the Klal that we had was that something that wasn't repeated. So what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina was saying is there is an example of one thing, but one thing only, that wasn't repeated. You're saying, well, technically this wasn't repeated because it's there to teach me. Technically it wasn't repeated, but I want to show you a case where it literally wasn't repeated. The only thing that literally wasn't repeated was Gid Hanasha. If I would, what would have been if I would have started to tell you, you see, if Mila wasn't repeated, Gid Hanasha and Piri of Arivia wasn't repeated, you would have come down on my head and you would have said, what are you talking about? It's a whole parsha talking about Mila. And what are you talking about? Shubalachem lo aleichem. I want to get into fights with you. So I'm talking about a case where it literally wasn't repeated. That's the shot. So Hani Itne, these things were repeated, but now we figured out gradually, okay, that it's L'shum Milta B'Yalma. It was repeated to teach me one halach or another. The only case that wasn't repeated at all is the Gid Hanasha. Hani Lo Itne Klal. That's the point. So there's one thing about being, theoretically, yes, in terms of the technicalities, you're absolutely right. But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina is bringing out this particular case. Or, you know what? I could give you another approach to the whole question. Why is it that Bnei Noach would not be chayev in Mila if it was repeated in Tazria? I'll tell you very simply. It was never given to Bnei Noach. What? It was given to Avraham. It wasn't the klal of Bnei Noach, was it? It was specified at the time. Mila me'ikara la'Avraham u'dekom Yisrael le'rachmona. It specifies va'ata et briti tishmor, ata v'zaracha acharecha l'dorotam. So it was already limited at the time that it was given to ata v'zaracha, you and your children, yes. But anybody else, inish achrina, lo. And therefore, you cannot call this as, here is a perfect example of a mitzvah that was given to Bnei Noach, and it was said again at Har Sinai. It was never given to Bnei Noach. So it was a specific thing that had to do with Bnei Avram. So there was never a mitzvah on a Ben Noach to be mal. That was the whole point. So wait, so if that's true, so then Bnei Yishmael should be chayev even after Kabbalah Satera, because it says Atava Zaracha, and he was a child of Avram Avinu. So if we were learning what we said before, that Mila is not considered to be Nisne, again, because it was only given to teach me the din that it's Deiche Shabbos on Yom HaShmini. Okay, fine. So then it wasn't a violation of that rule. But now you're saying, no, even if it were considered to be Nishne, then it would be somehow or other, it should include the now we're saying the only reason is because it was only B'nai Avram, so then let's take it all back. And any B'nai Avram, which include B'nai Ishmael, should be considered to be Chayev. Well, it says, Ki v'Yitzchak yikare lecha Zarah. The Torah specifies your children are only the children through Yitzchak. It says they are considered to be Atav Zaracha. It said, Hu Zaracha b'Yitzchak yikare lecha Zarah. So that means clearly the Torah is saying, when I said your children, what children am I referring to you? Those children that are B'Yitzchak, which means, by definition, not Yishmael. Okay, so what about Esav? Esav should all be Chayev in Mila. So B'nai Esav l'Chayev, because they came from Yitzchak. Ah, it doesn't say all of Yitzchak, does it? It says B'Yitzchak, some of Yitzchak. So B'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. So that includes only the B'nai Yaakov Avin. Maskeflor Avosha. So wait a minute. So according to this, the B'nai Keturah should not be Chayiv. Because after Yitzchak, remember you had all of these other children from his new wife, who was really Hagar, but we called her Keturah, and that would mean that all the B'nai Keturah should not be chayev, according to what you're saying, because only Yitzchak yikar lecha Zerah, and that means that B'nai Keturah wouldn't be chayev. Well, so what does that mean? That Avram Avinu had all of these kids? There's six different kids from B'nai Keturah, and he wasn't mal those kids? Is that what you're saying? That's how Rashi understands the question. But the et briti hefar, that extra pasuk, that someone is broken by bris, by being an oral zohar asher lo yimolet besar arlato, then that would be considered nichrata nefesh imiamea, that's coming l'rabot b'nei keturah. So the addition is the reason that Avram Avinu had to be mal all of his children. Masha Inkain, what we learned before, that is a din that only the B'nai Yitzchak, not the B'nai Keturah, only Keturah himself, that the original B'nai Keturah, not their children. Now this is Rashi's approach. The Rambam argues with that approach, and the Lashon of the Rambam is Omru Chachamim Shebnei Keturah Shehem Zaro Shel Avraham Sheba Acher Yishmael VeYitzchak are not included in the VeYitzchak Yikar Lecha. They are Chayovim B'Mila even today. VeHo'il VeNitarvu Hayom B'nei Yishmael B'Vnei Keturah. So now those Arabs, Bedouin, wanderers, we have no way of separating them between the B'nai Keturah and B'nai Yishmael. So because of that, nowadays, Yitchayvu HaKol B'mila, and they're actually Chayev B'Shmini, except that there's no din of Misa, Ein Ne'arogin Aleha, and as we saw, because we're not including them in those Chiyuvim. But Ein Achinami, B'nai Keturah, according to the Rambam, today are 100% Chayev. And even the B'nai Yishmael, who are mixed with the B'nai Keturah, are 100% chayev. Not only that, they're even chayev in Mila Bishmini.
Rabbi, may I ask a question?
Certainly, especially when you ask if you can ask a question, which means you've already asked a question.
May I ask another question? Yishmael is a ben keturah anyway.
If we understand it, he's a ben of Hagar.
But Hagar in...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. We're talking about in terms of when he appeared. The Bi Yitzchak was said as a choice of Yitzchak over Yishmael, but it wasn't said as a choice of Yitzchak over B'nai Keturah. That's the point. Okay, so Omer is a fascinating sugyas, no? Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav. Adam Arishon, Lohutar lo basar l'achila. Actually, Adam Arishon was not allowed to eat meat. Dechtiv lachem yiyela ochla, ulako chayat ha'aretz. That means, so what was given to Adam Harishon, as it says, Hine natati lachem et kol esev zorei hazera, asher al pnei kol ha'aretz, es kol eitz, asher bo pri eitz, lachem yiyela ochla, not only lachem, but lachol chayat ha'aretz. That makes it very clear. I'm giving this vegetation to you and to all the Chayat Ha'aretz, which is very clearly saying, I am not giving Chayat Ha'aretz Lachem. So you don't have any rights to take the Chayat Ha'aretz. You and the Chayat Ha'aretz are exactly the same, and you have rights to eat these fruits and vegetables. That you have a right to eat. But when Noach came along, Ukishabo b'nei Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically was matir achila of basar to them. Shenema, ki yerek esev natati lechem et kol. I'm giving you everything. Just as I gave the yerek esev to Adam Arishon, I'm giving you every single thing that actually moves. Kol remez asheru chai lechem yel ochla ki yerek esev natati lechem. So I'm giving you a kol. So now, if that's the case, so then that would mean that a ben Noach would not be chayev in Eiver Menachai, even though we had darshaned Eiver Menachai from the pasuk that was told to Adam Arishon. So maybe when Hashem said, I'm giving you everything, he was even giving Noach Eiver Menachai. That's why the Torah had to say to Noach, Ach basar benafsho damo lo tochelu. You might think that this is also an iser on insect parts, Talmud Lomar Ach. As we saw later, the Ach is motzi the insects. How do you know it's motzi insects? My Talmud, eh? Because, remember we said before, Omer Avuna, since it says domo and besoro separately, so mi shedomo chaluk mi besoro, ma sheinken shratzim, where we don't find any distinction between damam, which is chaluk mi besaram, it must be that there's no Isser of Eiver Menachai either on the Ben Noach. This was the sheet of the Chachomim that we had before. How can you say that Adam Arishon was Usser in meat? That makes no sense. Take a look at the Pasuk. Urdu bidgat hayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam Arishon that you will be the master of the God, the Gatayam. Milu at Arts Vikivshua, Redubi the Gatayam, Ubofa Shamayim, Uvako Chayara Meset Al Arts. What do you mean, Redu? And what, for what? I mean, doesn't that mean, Redu, that you have a right to go fishing and you can eat the Gatayam? No, no. What do you mean, fishing for eating? Whoever heard of fishing for eating? It's fishing for getting these fish to do the work for you. What? Fish? Work? What are you talking about? Dagim b'nei melachanino? I never heard of people using fish for work. Absolutely. Did you never hear of these dolphins that are spies and they go around spying on the enemy? What's the matter with you? Everybody knows that's what fish are really for. And maybe something else, like Rechava. The Aboy Rechava. Suppose somebody lives next to a canal. It's very interesting. Gabi's not feeling well, so he's not here this morning. But this is actually, he has a canal going, one of the old canals that used to be the main shipping, the way that they shipped from upstate New York. So they had these canals. And the question would be, they would pull the boats from the side, right? So on either side, you have this path. They would attach a tractor or something to a boat, and they would pull the boat. So now the question is, suppose this guy's got a great idea. He'll hook up a boat with one rope to a goat and to another rope to a big fish. And then the fish and the goat will be excellent motors for this boat. And Rechava wanted
it gives me a very eerie feeling.
Those who don't know, it's the Erie Canal. So it's. I don't remember, Gavi, did you see that when you were up there? The canal?
From the side of it, maybe.
Yeah, I think we drove down like that, that little place.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you see clearly that Shibutas do good work, right? Tashma, Uva Ofashamai. It says that Adam Arishon was given birds. What do you think the birds are for? Not for eating? My love, la chila? No, for work. Work. Birds. What kind of... That work is for the birds. Everybody says that. Ofos b'nei malacha nino. And absolutely, as Rabbi Bar Avuna said, supposed somebody covered the mouth of the geese or the chickens that he was using to pull his plow. So... Or to do threshing, right? So, lo taksom shor b'disho. Would that include the chickens? What? Or would that be, if you hold, to Rebbe Yehuda? So, what would be the din if remember that we had the diak that we had before, Aliba to Rebbe Yehuda, was, it wasn't Rebbe Yehuda, it was Rebbe Yehuda, but that the halacha of the Po'el and the halacha of Lotaksam Shor Badisho are similar. Namely, that the same way that a shor works, remember we had this, we discussed it, in the same way that a shor works with his hands and his feet, so it's only where you're completely engaged in a work that you're considered to be allowed to go ahead and eat. You have to be working both with your hands and with your feet. Now, by the same token, if you are a chicken, you've got problems because you don't have hands. So how exactly would you be able to work with your hands? On the other hand, if you're a chicken, walking with your feet is about all you can do. So it's total engagement. So we asked over there, we laughed when we learned this. Is this called total engagement? Because you're giving it your all by going and stepping over it like that? Or do we say, well, you know, if you can't use your wings, then it's not considered to be giving it your all. So anyway, but doesn't that show that people use geese and chickens to do their threshing for them? So obviously, this is a great idea. By the way, the very large birds, which are, I mean, they're birds that are like 2 meters high, you know, maybe they're not called Ofa Shamayim because they've stopped knowing how to fly gradually. But these were used actually by people for things like that. So the Mamish B'nei Melacha Tashma. This is the classic picture of the ostrich hooked up to the wagon, you know. What's that book about the people stranded on that on the Family Robinson? Swiss Family Robinson.
Family, right? Robinson.
So, yeah. So they've got a lot of birds hooked up to things. Why not? Tashma. The last part says Beferish that Adam Arishon wasn't allowed. You said he's not allowed to eat meat, but Adam Arishon was told that he's supposed to be redo on all of the chayot. Now, a remes? Remes? How does a remes work? I mean, a remes would mean what? Like a snake? How is that going to work? A cockroach? How are you going to get things done with cockroaches? Absolutely, it meant doing work. Remember that those snakes used to be dinosaurs, and that does a heck of a lot of work. And Adam Arishon was told that he is supposed to be able to hook up those dinosaurs, and they're very, very powerful, and to turn them into an amusement park for people to come and to... Maybe that's what it was for. But actually, it's beautiful, bright. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, what a disaster, what a catastrophe that we had all of this business with the Eitz HaDaas, which ruined the dinosaurs and which made the mammals all alone. So they no longer had these marvelous dinosaurs to hook up. Now the most that they get is what? A big cow. I mean, you have no power anymore. A shark. Imagine hooking up a Tyrannosaurus Rex to your tractor. I mean, that's power, baby. That's real power. Now you got cars that you deal with. Horsepower. A joke. And all of that is because of the Eitz Hadas. Chaval al shamash gadol shavad min ha'olam. If it wouldn't have been, Yomola nitkalel nachash, if we would have had the original nechashim, so then kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael ha'yu mitzdamnim lo shnei nechashim tovim, you would have had the best possible robots doing everything you wanted for you. And these are not just robots, these are dinosaur robots, you know? You need something. Send your AI, Mishagra Litzafon. You could send them all the way up north to the North Pole if necessary. Echad Mishagra Lidarom. Send one down to the South and go to South Africa where you can mine all of that gold. You don't have to do all of this on your own. You can simply send one of your brilliant, intelligent Nechashim, and he would be bringing you sound of Onim Tovim, Avanim Tovotu Margoliot. And not only that, I mean, imagine if you want to get your caterpillar, this gigantic tractor that's going to move a hill. What's the problem? You stick a strap, you put it underneath the T-Rex's tail, and then motzibo afar leginato lechurvato, you've got this amazing caterpillar, and it just like... It spreads out the dirt over the entire area, does all of the landscaping. I mean, can you imagine all of this tircha that we would have been saved if only we still had our sweet dinosaurs? Mesfet. How can you say that Adam HaRishon wasn't allowed to eat meat if the Braita describes what life in paradise is like? Sitting back on the island, Adam HaRishon, Mesef began Eden Haya, the Malachi Ashores, they're coming around and they're making all these barbecues from him. So you've got a Malach HaShores Brai. I mean, can you imagine what that was like? You don't have to sit there worrying about Naftali's preparing all of that meat in advance, letting it soak in those delicious things. You had Malach HaShores doing that. Vayu Malach HaShores Tzolinu Basar. And they got the wine all ready for him. Misanadim Lo Yayin. And the Nachash took a look at that and got very jealous. Ra'ah Bichvado V'nit Kanebo, and so on and so forth. But anyway, meanwhile, you see that Adam HaRishon enjoyed these brais. So how was he allowed to enjoy of it? He's not allowed to eat meat, you said. No, that's not talking about meat that comes from animals, silly. That was meat. That was artificial meat that they sold in stores for vegetarians. Those were the kinds of meats that came down min hashamayim, and they did not come from animals. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you can go buy that stuff today if you want a good hamburger. Why do you call it meat? That was basar hayored min hashamayim. What? There's that kind of meat? They had that kind of meat in Gan Eden? Mi'ika basar hayored min hashamayim? Of course. Famous story of Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, who was walking along the road and is suddenly greeted by a bunch of lions. Not lions. Oh, no. Real lions. Now, they looked very hungry, and he didn't think it would be a good idea to keep walking in the direction of these lions. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hakfirim shoagim leteref. My gosh, these lions over here, they're looking for something to eat. So right away, the chitulu tarte atmata. So two big sides of meat fall down from the sky. The lions eat up the meat, one of them, and they're full, so they don't want to eat Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, and he simply walks on his way. But he takes along the other piece of meat with him. So chada achalu v'chada shafkua. He takes the other piece of meat, and he comes into the Beit Midrash, and he asks in the Beis HaMedrash, so is this kosher or not? Which is exactly the question they asked today about this meat that comes down min hashamayim. This is this yeast or is this meat? So what's the din? Dover Tamehuze or Dover Tahor. So they paskin in the Beis HaMedrash, Ein Davar Tameh Yored Min HaShamayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you meat, that's a good hashgacha. It's not only Rav Machput, God also gives good hashgachas. And Mimela, if it came down, you can probably rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha, unless you only eat fish, of course, then you wait for the Livyosan. But otherwise, the meat can also be eaten. There was an interesting shaila that Reb Zera asked, so hearing this psak, so he said, and how about if that meat would have had the clear-cut shape of a demut chamor? So it looked clearly like a treif animal. Would you be willing to say you can even eat a treif animal just because it has a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha? Or do you say, listen, you know, I mean, there's limits to how much we can trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. I mean, it looks like a chamor. Said Rabbi Abu to him, this is a sort of a nasty thing to say, but you have to know the background. The background is that we have many machlokas in between Rabbi Abu and Rabbi Zera about asceticism. Because Rabbi Zera, he was like, remember, he was the one that had all the tainiyos to forget all of his learning, and he used to constantly be very makbid on not being nenev from Olam Hazeh. There's a lot of machlokas in the different places about whether a tainis is a good thing, he's considered to be kadosh, or on the contrary, is it b'mayit, is aved hashamayim, and so on. And Rabbi Abohu was very makbid on Rabbi Zera's super frumkite with this asceticism. I mean, he did not like it at all. So he viewed this as being another one of his chumras. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha is not good enough for Rabbi Zera. No, of course not. So he said to him, Yarud Nala, you idiotic Yarud. No, Yarud is a kind of bird, and it's a bird that's always miserable. And it's making these sounds of, oh, you know. So he sounded like this guy that's walking around always, oi, shishferetz is ein ayin, and then he makes his extra taniot, and so Rabbi Abba didn't like it at all. So he called him a meshugana yarud. Didn't we tell you what the halacha is? Ein davar tameh yored min hashamayim. So what are you asking, and what about if it has a tzura of a chamor? So you wouldn't have gotten the tzura of a chamor, and if you did, so then it was a different kind of chamor, and it was kosher. Questions like that are ridiculous.